Hey everyone, this is Anthony Fleming, Senior Pastor of Church Alive, praying that this message is fresh, real, and powerful in your mind, your heart, your family, every part of your life. If you enjoy these messages, subscribe to it, share it with a friend to build their faith. God bless you as you lean in to the power and presence of God's Word.
And uncle. Is that all right? Oh, the fun uncle and auntie, though he's more fun. Hey, while you're standing, I actually would love Andrew just hop up here. Can he just pray over us today? He's going to preach in the next service and the service after that, but we just really sense his worship has been stunning and the team's incredible and your pastors are on a well-deserved sabbatical, and that the church is just so strong. And while they, and we speak into this a lot with them as friends, as they are resting, I believe you are also receiving a refreshing, because it's an anointing upon this house, and that's what this summer is for. Amen. So we love that. We just pray over today.
Amen. Would you just raise your hands to King Jesus to receive right now? Father, I just thank you that we get to be in a room like this.
Yeah.
Not every church carries the presence and the power of Christ. Father, this church carries heaven. We're in the midst of the Holy Spirit here right now this morning. And so, Father, I pray it wouldn't just be information that we receive, but transformation.
Yeah.
And impartation.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, I just pray that Jesus' name would be glorified. The Father would walk out of here more in love with you, but more purposed and more planned with what you've called us to. So, Father, I pray as Vanessa preaches your word, as she brings heaven to earth, God, it would touch us, it would change us, and it causes us to fall more in love with you. Father, I thank you for your sweet spirit here this morning. Thank you for the power of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give him a big hand of praise one more time? He's so good.
You can take your seats. Well done. You are the early birds. I love this. Andrew and I have been married 24 years now. Nearly 25. No, 24 next week. Oh, next week, 24. and I love getting up early in the morning, and he doesn't. Anyone in a friendship, relationship like that? Obviously, I don't have to say who's the early morning people. And then at 1:30, we'll hear the people that love staying up late at night. Is that right? So we love being here. We're on a journey ourselves, and I've titled today, Taking New Ground. Taking New Ground. Just something else I really felt to speak over this kind of halfway of the year mark in your life. And I do believe there's something as we're shifting our focus from July into August. There's just our sights set on, you know, what God has for us to go again. Everyone say, I'm going again. I love that declaration over this house that we are constantly called to go again. And summer can feel a little bit like a pause and a moment to rest in some way, shape, or form. Not everyone gets vacation time over summer, but there's something about the sunshine, right? When it's out and about, that just feels rejuvenating. We've just had a year in Florida. Don't hate us. We just had a year in Florida. And we are from Sydney, born and raised 30 years in Sydney, Australia. That's how we met your pastors way back then, and had 30 years there. where God called us to plant a church on the Gold Coast. So it's kind of like going from up here down to Florida. It was the same in Australia, moving from Sydney to the Gold Coast of Australia, and we had a decade there, and then God called us, like very, very specifically called us to Quebec in Canada, French-speaking Canada. Canadians are in the house. Hey, a few of you. I'm not even going to attempt French, and that is a problem, that for 8 years I didn't learn French. I pretended that I learned French, if you've ever heard that story, but I didn't learn French. My husband did. He's a legend. My kids are completely bilingual. And God called us to plant a church there, a church that then endured through COVID and became a remnant of incredible people. And from there, we realized Quebec long-term needed something that would anchor them in a group larger than just what we were. And so last year, we actually felt the Lord really just release that pioneering work that we'd done, and we handed our church over to a beautiful family of churches called Global Heart. They come out of Perth, and they're in Africa, and they're in Europe, and so they love hard places. So we said, if you love hard places, Quebec is a really, really amazingly hard place spiritually, and yet we love that God is still doing an amazing thing there. And he gave us permission to come to your nation for a year. And we love your nation. Your nation is, if you don't understand what is happening in this nation and you live in this nation, but the second we crossed over into the atmosphere of the United States of America, there is something on this nation. And Andrew always says that you are contending for freedom, you are contending for a global leadership role, and if the lights go out in the United States of America for the kingdom, then the world would be in trouble. Like, truly. And we love what God is doing in raising up kingdom leaders in every sphere of life in this nation to not only impact this nation, but impact beyond. And so what we've experienced here for a year has been nothing but healing, nothing but liberating, nothing but freeing. And then God actually, in the last few months, asked us to go back to Australia, to our home nation, and take care of our parents and really honor that space, that season of life that they are in. And who knows, that matters. And so we are uprooting again our family. And so when I talk today, this message about taking new ground, I don't want you to think, as I share our story, that this means moving countries for you. That's not the prophetic word. Don't leave this country. It's amazing. But I really believe every one of us, when we're following Jesus, we are invited to an adventure. We're invited to new ground and new land that is yours and yours only, designed and destined and preordained ahead of time for you to step foot in and step foot on. And so I want to talk about that. And as I preach from the scriptures today, from Genesis, as I preach from Genesis, I pray that God would be creating a Genesis life in you, like a newness and a recreation in some way. And if you've never experience the love and saving power of Jesus Christ today, that Genesis day is going to happen in your life. And so let's find ourselves in Genesis 12. Verse 1, God told Abram, leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation and I'll bless you. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. It's the Message paraphrase. It's a way of reading scripture here that just makes it kind of real time. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Say, through me. Through me. What is on you and in you is not just for you. Yeah. So good. Do you believe that today, friend? What is on you and in you is not just for you. Do you know what? We are in the middle of a shift ourselves, practically and physically, but we know this move. We know the way we've been obeying the voice of God and co-creating with Him, co-dreaming with Him. It's not just God said, it's what's in you, what's on you, what delights you, what are the desires of your heart? Because as you delight in me, the Lord says, I will give you the desires of your heart. And it's this beautiful relating to one another in our relationship with the Lord. And I want to say to you today that where He is inviting you, where are you desiring to move in your life, that it's never just about you. And that's my first point today, is that this new ground God is inviting you towards, even as you kind of move through to August, even as you step foot into a new month. In the way I coach and lead people, I talk about creating rhythms and creating a way, like a cadence to your life, where you would review your life annually, quarterly, monthly, that even as you step foot into August, every month there is something new. I teach people to name a month, to speak over the month ahead what you're believing for and what you're feeling invited into, and just the turning of today to tomorrow to August 1st, I think Tuesday, is that right? That in itself is new ground. Tomorrow morning you wake up and you're not in this church. And you don't get to worship with all these amazing people. And I wish I did, because I can't sing. Well, I can sing. It just doesn't sound like this. But when you wake up tomorrow morning and you get on that train or that bus, or you wake up to a summer full of children at home, ready for school again. If you, whatever your Monday looks like, your sacred vocational calling where your everyday worship happens, that is new ground tomorrow. It's not the same, because you won't be the same. Because of what happened today, what happens tomorrow morning in your devotional time, you won't be the same person. So you step on that land and you're new. And where everyone else has maybe had a wild weekend, that's amazing, but you can actually show up tomorrow morning knowing that something has happened in you. The same way we sang that His mercy is in you, every morning something tomorrow feels new. You don't have to scroll social media and see people traveling and having all these amazing summer adventures to feel like I'm invited into the new. The new ground is not just about us. Here the promise says, I will give it to you and your children forever. You know, every time we've gone to take a possession in some way of a new part of the land God has invited us into, there's always been a contending and a battle. And we understand that. In different seasons of our life, we've had to prepare and brace ourselves for what we just know often is a pattern of where the enemy says, I don't want you to have that land. And I believe when we get savvy to that, we're not going to live fearful of that. We're just going to be aware of that, that the battles you are facing and fighting right now, they're not just about whether you get victory over them. They're about what you are going to pass on generation to generation, whether that's in the natural or whether that's the spiritual impact you are going to have on other people's lives. Psalm 90:16 says, let your work, the signs of your power, be revealed to your servants and your glorious majesty to their children. The signs of your power. When we see God's power and we begin to tell the story of God's power, they become signs and witnesses to look what God can do. Look what God can do. I really sense in this room, we always do it. Always, everywhere we minister. In the natural, there'll be one or two, maybe three people, and you're contending as a married couple to have children in the natural. And I really believe right now, if everyone can just bow their heads and close their eyes, I always love to pray. When we start speaking generationally, I know what can happen in people's hearts and minds. And even as I started to speak about children's children, there was just a few people in this room, and right now I believe you are beginning to speak that lie and rehearse a lie. It's not me. It won't happen. It can't happen. There's a few people in this room, and as I speak about children's children, you also have children right now just not following in the ways of Jesus. And so you're saying, children's children. And I want to speak over both those situations. And if that today you started to rehearse something, as I said, children's children, just that word, will you just lift your hand? I'm going to pray over you right now. There's a release in this room because there's something you've been believing that's a lie. And in the name of Jesus, right now, in this room, in this holy ground, would you encounter your people with truth? Truth that will set them free. I pray in the natural there to be healing. I pray in the spiritual there to be a shift. And I ask right now in your name for your glory and for our good, God, that you would do what only you can do, that you would get all the glory, Jesus. And the generational contending that is happening, I pray right now that there would be a breakthrough. In your name we pray, amen. 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 Come on, let's thank Jesus, because sometimes he just interrupts a moment. Second thought I have for you, the new ground that God is inviting you into means leaving somewhere before you always know where you're going. Leaving somewhere. I read a book once, I love it. It's called Leaving Almost. Leaving almost, leaving somewhere. Between Andrew and I, it was so amazing what Villani said. Just seeing her in person has been amazing, because a lot of the majority of the coaching we do is online, and often just phone calls, and especially around the health coaching, just quick little touch bases every week once we set people up with a program. And so seeing people in person is amazing. Between Andrew and I, we've lost 90-something pounds in the last, 6 months. In fact, I stood on this stage and realized how uncomfortable I was just in my own skin. It's not about in proportion to anyone else, but we know where we're at our most optimum. Would you agree? And there's no shame. There's too much shame around this journey. But I noticed I would, laugh about it, joke about it, but ultimately on the inside, I was like, I've got to get control. I just needed to find a way to get control of an area that was out of control in my life. And when it came to this journey, I actually didn't know where I wanted to go. I knew I wanted to fit my wedding ring again, and I still haven't, which is actually just people get surprised, but that's just being that small boned, this is the journey I'm on. But I didn't know exactly what it was going to cost. I didn't know that it was going to take work. It was going to take discipline. I didn't know. I didn't have a preconceived idea about this. I was just stuck. But I knew I wanted to leave where I was and move somewhere. And so I didn't just go, one day I want to look like this. It wasn't about that. It's how I wanted to feel. Yeah. It's what I wanted to have happen on the inside. And my why has grown over time. When you are taking new ground, you have to leave certain mindsets. You do have to leave certain excuses. In this, in the way we coach a lot of life these days, we talk about radically accept yourself and then take radical responsibility to change. Radical acceptance and radical responsibility. They go hand in hand. But there's an acceptance that this has been life so far. It is what it is. It is the lot I've been given. It is what I is. But I'm going to take responsibility, and I'm just going to take one step. And for you, even just spiritually, I don't know what to do next. I don't know how to grow. Do you know what? Open up the Bible and just read one sentence even. Just one sentence is better than no sentence. Atomic Habits says, don't try and run half a marathon. Actually, just put your shoes on and get to the front door and then go back. No, and everyone's like, amen. That's it. That's all I have to do. But Atomic Habits says, do that for about a week. Don't even walk out the front door. My husband right now is doing some push-ups, and he started doing a few, and now he's doing more. I haven't yet joined him, but that it's just a few, friend. Don't overthink this. Don't overthink your journey. Don't overthink your growth. Just take one step. In fact, the smaller the steps, the more sustainable those steps are going to be. Truly, like when you do talk about running, there's a cadence, and you don't want it to overstride and overstep too much because you lose your balance and you really put your hips out. It's actually about smaller steps, and I think that's our journey to the new ground that God is calling us to, just one step at a time. But take the step, amen. Number three, I want to say this to you. The new ground that the Lord is going to give you is a land He will show you. It's a land He will show you. Do you know, we speak negatively a lot about comparison and scrolling social media and all the rest of it, and I 110% agree with that. But I also believe, working with people for a long, long time now, loving people, caring for people, pastoring people, coaching people, there are some things that you see that although we do not want to carry a spirit of envy about it, sometimes some of what God is going to show you is because it's in your future. And you want to actually see some of what you see, some of what you scroll, some of what you see in another person, and you actually want to let that invite you. You want to manage this tension of, I'm envious, I want what they have, versus God. There's a reason something leaps in my spirit when I see a life like that, when I see a marriage like that, when I see a family like that, when I see a business being run in that way, when I see people serve and lead in church life. This is a tension to manage. No, Pastor Katie, you're laughing at me. I'm like, always, this is a tension to manage, not a problem to solve, right? She's like, I've heard that a million times, but it's true. It's something that in our Christian walk, we're actually going to steward the tension of. Because some of the reason why God is actually highlighting those things to you is because He wants to show you that it's possible. There's something in the research around neuroscience these days that says when you decide you want a certain car, you see that car everywhere. Is that true? And like, but it's actually what's beginning to happen. Is it so crazy? Those cars have always been on the road, but now you're looking at them. That leader has always been serving, but now because you've taken a step towards your destiny, they're standing out to you. That marriage has always, or possibly not always, been flourishing, but is that couple's kind of been in your world, but now the Holy Spirit's given you a connection, or you notice them again and again and again. Hey, single ones in the room, that girl's probably been around for a while, but now you're noticing her. Hey, say amen. Amen. I don't know if single people are at the 8:30 service. I'll say that at the 1:30 and I'll be woo. It's a land. These things, this is a land God will give you. And often you're going to see that land in other people. You're going to see that place. You're going to see that way of living in someone else. I want to say something here. I actually believe, as I was speaking about this land, as I was preparing for this land, there's people in this room, and the same way this house, this church family is believing right now for a building, amen, for our home, the next home that God is in enlarging the place of your tent for. And we are all believing for that with you. But I actually believe there's a company of people also believing for a home in the natural. If that's you, raise your hand right now. It could be land, it could be a new house. Come on, like be bold, be bold. You've got a family around you that are cheering you on for that. Don't diminish that in your life. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I just declare that this is the land that you will show your people. I believe these are the homes, this is the place, this is the location, even where it seems impossible, even where right now the market and the stats would say, no, it's not going to happen. I believe those that need to sell a house to get a house in the name of Jesus, I pray there would be favor on that. I pray it would be like a sticky favor, a shocking favor. I declare a shocking favor. So shocked, although you're believing for it, although you expect it, in the name of Jesus, would it still shock the socks off you? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's really believe for that. We have the wildest story. We're moving back to the Gold Coast, and everyone basically said, even faith-filled, amazing people said to us, so Andrew and Vanessa, we don't want to be negative. Who knows that that's the most annoying, like, way to start a sentence. We don't want to be negative, but people are moving to the Gold Coast. It's like moving to Florida. People are moving to the Gold Coast and literally camping in tents because they can't get something. And you have to be like, you can't be sight unseen. And people are waiting, and $300,000 on their, you know, paychecks or whatever, and people are still saying, no, we don't want you to be the one to rent our house, and we don't want to be negative. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're moving our family back there. Everyone's like, go move in with your family, you're going back to take care of your mums. I'm like, my mum has like a studio apartment, she's not going to have six of us. Like, she misses us, but she's not going to have six of us in that apartment. So then Andrew's like, oh, wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing? I know exactly where I want to live. I know after the 10 years of living there, the place we flourish the most, the neighborhood we flourish the most in, it's a street away. It's a suburb near the beach. Don't hate us when you follow us. He's like, but I loved it there. Our kids were super little, and it was an apartment, and we owned it, and then we sold it to plant a church. And he said, wouldn't it just be great to live there again? Wouldn't it be amazing to get our apartment back? And, you know, so he was just, you know, he's amazing like that. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. And then one day I went to bed and I'm like, what is my limiting belief? Like, what is my, why? Why? Between what people are saying and then what Andrew is next to me saying. And I'm telling you, that's what this environment does. That's what people around you are going to do. And we limit it, like we limit it. And so I went to bed one night, I'm like, that is a limiting, what is my problem? I'm going to deal with this. And we wake up in the morning and we get this like screenshot, and it's from his mum, and his mum said, hey, someone I know sent me a random screenshot of someone in a Facebook group who's wanting to just break out of their lease a little bit early. So we look at the picture and we're like, oh, Main Beach, amazing. We look at the picture closer, I'm like, that's our apartment block. And then we look at the picture again, oh my gosh, it's our apartment. And so then I have to stalk Facebook to find this girl who's posted on this Facebook group. And I'm like, hey, I know this is weird, but like, this was our apartment and you're breaking the lease. And I'm like, oh yeah. She goes, oh, nice to meet you. Here's the real estate's number. The real estate calls us in Florida from Australia and says, hey, I heard that you're thinking about taking this place. He's like, I'm really sorry though, like it's sight unseen, you can't do it sight unseen. When are you going to be here? Da, da, da. I'm like, oh no, we've seen it. We renovated it. It was ours. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, so can we put in an application? And we're both launching into like brand new vocations. Well, I've been coaching for a few years now, but for Andrew, as we've church planted for the last 25 years, we're just stepping out into a whole new arena. He's moving into business and coaching, consulting, everything he's loved in ministering to people in. It's always been a passion of his. So we're moving into this entrepreneurial type of season in our life. So he says, oh, and I'll just need like what you're earning this year. We're starting businesses. We haven't earned anything yet. I'm like, oh, I have an accountant that knew us for 8 years. She can write a letter. And they were rejecting $300,000 like in applications. And he's like, okay, send me the letter. And then anyway, story goes on. He puts the application to the owner. She's like, can you do an open home? I don't like that application. I'm like, okay, so whatever. We just got to be trusting God. Next thing you know, they call us back and they're like, it's yours. Wow. They want you. And even their like real estate agent was like, they've said yes to your application. Of course they did, because we have the favor of God. It's just a story to encourage you. It's land to encourage you. It's a situation to encourage you. For us, we're moving our family across the other side of the world. You're not going to need to do that to experience the favor of God. This isn't about a move I'm making. This is about a belief that I carry. This is about a gift from God. It's the unmerited, as Pastor Villani showed us today, as we're receiving communion, unmerited, undeserved gift from God, His grace and favor. Amen. Land that God is going to show you in Jesus' name. Businesses that He's going to ask you to steward, to be entrusted with, not just to start. I woke up this morning and you got to, if you can say for Andrew's message, it's going to be phenomenal about your calling in ministry and marketplace and all the rest of it. But I woke up and I felt this morning like there's a few people in this room, and some of you think you're going to start a business, but you're actually going to be given a business. And if you just receive that today, I want you to receive it in faith over your life. Amen. In fact, these are just the moments. Raise your hand if that's you. You either believe in starting one or receiving one. Look all over this place. In the name of Jesus, we do. It's a sticky favor. It's something that, again, feels nearly embarrassing. But we're not going to be embarrassed by it. We're going to be humbled by it. But we're not going to be embarrassed by it. We're going to celebrate it. And we're going to be a company of people that celebrate the stories of miracles. But here's what happens. As you go for new ground, the new ground requires a response. Every time you move, what God asked Abram and his family to do along the journey is build an altar. Build an altar. Each place that they went, He asked them to build an altar. And so what this means, and this is what I love about the journey, is each next decision, each next step, quite often what the Lord says is two things around an altar. Just stop for a minute. On the journey, just stop. Just stop where you are, wherever you are, whether it's where you want to be or where you're going. Just stop and build me an altar. Build me a place where you're going to come, build an altar, rocks. You're going to bring a sacrifice. And this is Old Testament. We know now the ultimate sacrifice was in Jesus Christ. On the altar of the cross, shedding blood, so none of those animal sacrifices have to be offered again. But what we do is we live our life as a living sacrifice. Romans 12, take your everyday, ordinary, eating, sleeping, going to work life, and offer it to God as a sacrifice. And that rhythm, that happens not just Sunday to Sunday, that happens daily in our life. But there are moments where we need to stop, build another altar, offer and surrender again these desires, these dreams, these hopes, this circumstance, and offer it to God and yield it. Because it's in the waiting that we need to worship. It's in the waiting that we need to re-surrender again. It's in the waiting, it's in all that's in our future that we still need to stop, because guess what? An altar becomes, once the rocks have been built, this fire happens, the sacrifice is burnt. In the Old Testament, the rocks remained. And so once the fire was gone and the sacrifice was gone, the next people coming on that journey saw a memorial, see an altar. And then they say to themselves, oh, this is the way we go, but this is what we do. This is a moment the people of God waited. This is a moment Abram's family waited. And when you start to tell your story, don't just tell the good parts of your story, friend. Like, tell the moments, tell the altar moments. Tell the moments where God had to show up with fire and burn that sacrifice, because there was things that he needed to free you of before you were going to move to the next part. And tell that part of the story, because I don't know if it's just a life well lived that shows only the goodness of God. I think it's the story on the way. I think it's actually when we tell and speak of what we had to yield, what we got free of, how God was so kind to meet us at that altar again and again and again. Because that's what we do. We just keep offering God our life. The moments where we've sacrificed, the moments where we've given in extraordinary and sacrificial ways, they're the stories we tell our kids. They're those things, those moments when God said, you want this? Then give something away before you get it. When we couldn't have kids and God said, go to every single person in your world having kids and buy them a gift and celebrate them. And I would be like, why? Like, that's heartbreaking. Another baby shower, another this, another that. But that was part of my altar. That was part of our sacrifice, giving a car away to a couple that got a job in ministry that we thought we deserved. Let's be honest. This is the honest stuff. This is the like, ah. But you know what it does? It frees you. It frees you. Those moments free us. Because this new ground, number 5, will always come with a test. It will. It's a stewardship test in our life, constantly. And I don't mean that like you need to be tested to fail. No. When we don't hear, we know we're on a path, we believe God showed us this land, we prayed for, we've had wisdom around it, we're taking the next step. We create an altar, we have an encounter with God, and then often straight from that encounter, there's silence. That's what happened to Jesus. He was baptized, then he's taken to the wilderness and it's silent from heaven. And testing comes his way. But guess what? Of course, in a test, a teacher has to be silent. Because if they're not silent and they give you an answer when you're sitting in the test, then that's called cheating. Because what the teacher has realized is the teacher has taught you what you need to know for the test you're about to sit. And so they're in the room, they're not in the room after teaching and loving and pouring into you. They're not hoping you fail. They're not sitting up at the front hopefully, going, come on, I'm silent and I really know you're going to fail. Do you know what they're doing when they are looking, hopefully, at those students? You've got what it takes. Yeah. We've learned this. We've talked about this. You've repeated some of these things over and over again in practice tests. You've got this. And right now, if the Lord feels silent, if it feels like you're not in a season where there's just all the open connection, conversations, new, fresh word, you're just in a test and you're going to pass it. When we lost our fourth little girl, Anastasia, many of you have heard this story. We gave birth to her at 22 weeks, formed in my womb. And that night we came home and I'd heard stories. I actually work and had already started without even experiencing this loss ourselves. We'd started a pregnancy loss ministry where hundreds in our community would come once a year and acknowledge the babies they'd lost. It was amazing. And now actually an incredible opportunity came our way where we've been able to establish a charity here in the US. I think part of why God's had us here for a year is we've been able to leave the known movement here as a charity with big, big dreams for how people are going to be helped through this ministry in the future. But I'd worked with lots of people experiencing pregnancy loss, then we experienced it. And that night after giving birth to her and seeing her at that age formed, I was reading my Bible. I went to open my Bible and I open it like you see the stories and the videos, and I open my Bible and the Lord spoke and that was my anchor word. And I opened the Bible and it was like middle of the Bible, kind of one of those angry prophet kind of scriptures. I'm like, that's not the word. And I had this image in my mind of what that moment was going to be after deep, deep grief, like I've never experienced in my life. I had this idea of opening the Bible and it was just going to fall to a promise. And then Andrew, he was so kind, like I'm making light of a moment, but for the point, for a moment, he's like, honey, if you want a word of encouragement, it's like a little bit middle to the left in the Psalms. But honestly, what it did that day for us, I didn't need a new word. I did not need a new word. I already knew the nature and character of God. I already knew that He was good. And I already knew that in pain He would be faithful. I already knew of eternity. There was enough I knew. But do you know what you have to do in a test? You have to recall it. You actually have to recall it. You just got to bring up, this is what I already know. These are the habits I've already formed. This is exactly what I know to do. I know how to get up. I know how to believe again. I know how to heal through this. I know how to find freedom. The issue is now I just have to let that freedom go deeper to more layers and more layers, and I've got to get free. It's the same with getting fit. You're not just losing weight. You are dealing with layer and layer of emotional eating. Why you eat, why you do this, mindsets. There's just more freedom. There is more freedom in our life, and I want to say that today. Don't be afraid to go again and get free. Don't be afraid to go again and actually get the victory. Don't be afraid to repeat again and again and go again. And that's how I want to leave this word for you today. Don't be afraid to go again. It might look new, but God might ask you to do this. Wait. He might even ask you to do this. Just go back a little bit to that thing. And then go again on it and then move forward. Yeah. New ground looks like new, But new, bright, shiny isn't the goal. Growth is the goal. Amen? Amen. I want to pray over everyone who wants the new ground but is willing to grow. If that's you, just raise both hands in surrender to heaven right now. In the name of Jesus, I ask that this invitation would be to deeper, stronger, new levels of freedom, and that the new ground would actually not be what we take possession of, but actually would you form in us first the new ground within us, new places to find freedom, new ways to grow and evolve and transform and form more and more the image of Jesus Christ within us. And I pray that in Jesus' name. You can just keep in a moment of prayer. You can put your hands down right now in this room. There are people who have never, ever encountered the transforming love and forgiveness and grace of Jesus. You've known religion. You've grown up possibly in church environments that have never ever taught you that it's not what you do to earn God's love. It's what's been done for you when Jesus hung on the cross and died a death and separated from the Father, God in heaven, so you will never have to live separate, ever, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. He sets you free. He forgives you. He places within you the hugest God dreams. If you say, Vanessa, I've never actually said yes to Jesus. Or a long time ago, I walked in that pathway, but like a prodigal, it's time to return home. If you say, that's me, I'm going to count to three, and on three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Like we've been doing all through this service for all different moments, but this one, this is eternal. This is like life-changing. So on three, if you say, Vanessa, I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to become a Christian. I'm going to count to three, and then you're going to raise your hand. One, two, three, all over this room. Amazing. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Amazing. 13, 14, raise them high so I can see. So we, amazing. Another hand down here. This is a holy moment. This is a life-changing moment, church. This is where you pray. This is where you contend right now on a spiritual level. That's you. I'm going to pray for you. And we're all going to pray together because we will never forget this prayer in our life, will we, church? Ever. This moment. So, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me, for dying on the cross, for my salvation, for making me right with the Father. And today I receive forgiveness, freedom, your Holy Spirit, your grace, and your favor. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, I love that.